You are listening to the Nirvana Podcast, bonus episode 8, a very polychorus podcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Nirvana Podcast. My name is Sietse, and yes, this is another solo episode. So I'm doing this without my dear friend and co-host of the show, Jiditja. People who've been listening to us for a longer time probably know that we're only doing like bonus episodes every once in a while when we feel like we have something to say or something, something news comes up. And also, since Jiditja moved to Canada and we decided that we don't like recording these episodes on a distance through the internet that much anymore. We did a lot of those in the past, also because of the coronavirus, remember that. So we're probably only going to do these episodes together if we can be in the same room together, and that won't happen that often. On the last episode, I took a deep dive into the effect pedals that really shaped Kurt Cobain's guitar sound. And in this episode, I very much want to continue that story, but with a more personal angle. Last year, I did something I've been waiting for a long, long time, probably since I was like 15 years old or something like that. I played my first gig with a Nirvana cover band called The New Complaints. We only played for like 20 minutes, and I have to say it was really awesome. It was loud and intense and slightly chaotic. I made quite some mistakes. Also because first of all, I'm not a very good guitar player. And second, I decided to really focus on enjoying the moment and doing that instead of focusing on playing the right notes exactly the same at the right time. So it was a bit sloppy, and I think it really fits like the Nirvana feel. So I very much enjoyed it. Here's a small fragment from that show. Of course, it wasn't recorded properly or anything. This was just my wife using her phone to capture the moment. The reason I'm bringing this up is that this experience really got me thinking about my gear again, not in a theoretical way, but very practically. Because, well, here's the problem I ran into. I don't really enjoy carrying my entire pedal board to every rehearsal. As I demonstrated last time, I've collected quite some Nirvana-esque pedals. It's like collecting them is part of the hobby, I always say. But now my pedal board is heavy, it's bulky, and just for a couple of hours in a practice room, it feels a bit like overkill. So at the same time, Nirvana sound is very pedal-driven. So I started looking for ways to keep the essential sounds, but without dragging around half a studio with me to a rehearsal. And that's how I came across Past Effect. That's a small Australian company that makes clones of rare and vintage effect pedals, often rehoused in a much smaller, more practical enclosure. So that really sounded like something I was looking for. So I had a look at their website. They have a lot of different pedals and also some very much Nirvana-related pedals. For example, they have a pedal called Kurt's Cologne. It's a compact chorus pedal. Remember chorus? I explained that last time. It's an effect that Kurt used a lot in combination with his distortion pedal. And so what the guys at Past Effects did, they made a clone of the effect pedal that Kurt Cobain used called the small clone. That's a bit confusing, perhaps, but that's the one that Cobain used a lot on Nevermind. The introduction of Come As You Are, That's clearly chorus. The solo of Smells Like Teen Spirit, that's clearly chorus in combination with a distortion pedal. That's what they built, but I did not buy that pedal, so I'm sorry for talking about it too much if you wanted to hear it. The reason is it's quite simple. Electroharmonics, the company that made the effect pedal that Kurt Cobain used, already makes the Neo clone, which is a smaller, cheaper alternative. And for me, it does exactly what it needs to do. So I decided not to spend my money on the Kurt Cologne, even though it looks awesome. I've watched some demonstrations of it on YouTube. It gives you more possibilities than the Neo clone, the small version that I have, or even the original small clone that I also have and that Kurt Cobain used. So you can do fun things with it. It looks very interesting, but I decided not to spend my money on that one. Something else that is very interesting but isn't finished yet is that Past Effect is working on a compact clone of this Sans Amp Classic. And that's the effect pedal that Kurt Cobain used for his distorted sounds on the In Utero album and also on the In Utero tour. So I have an original Sans Amp pedal. It's one of my favorites, I must say. Here's what it sounds like. I did not tell you guys that I'm not completely alone because I'm joined with my guitar. Yeah, I'm going to be demonstrating some sounds as well on this episode. I forgot to mention that. So I'm sorry if it scared you off. Anyway, back to the Sans Amp. It's a really cool pedal. It's not even that big, but for my small compact setup, yeah, I would be very interested in having a Sans Amp sound, but in a smaller case. Maybe also if they could do something about the Sans Amp being a bit noisy, having sometimes a lot of hiss and stuff going on, that would be great as well. I reached out to Past Effects and they expect their version of it to be ready in about a year. And yeah, that's very, very exciting to me because, like I said, I am building a small version of my pedal board and every small Kurt Cobain related pedal is very welcome to me. So, enough about stuff that isn't ready yet or isn't available yet or that I decided not to buy. Here's what I did buy. A compact clone of the Polychorus. And the Polychorus is also known as a Echo Flanger. And that is absolutely everywhere on In Utero. I already own a clone of the Echo Flanger, but that pedal is huge. It's really big and bulky. So if I would put that on my smaller setup, I would hardly have room left for anything else. So the Past Effects version is really compact and that's very manageable. And in fact, I ended up with space left on my rehearsal pedal board, enough room for a small box with guitar picks and earplugs. And I got the box and the picks sent to me all the way from Seattle by Yedithia, who went there and picked them up at a Sub Pop store. So I have official Sub Pop records, guitar picks, and a cool case that I can even put on my board, which is built into like a small suitcase. And I think now I always have everything I need and I can carry it around with just one hand. And in the other hand, I can carry my guitar and it will be very nice to rehearse like that. So back to the pedal, just to be completely clear, I got a small discount from Past Effects and I told them I would review the pedal on the podcast. And they also covered the cost for shipping it from Australia to the Netherlands. So that was nice for me. And when it arrived, it wasn't just the pedal. I also got a beanie, a couple of guitar picks and even some candy. So yes, apparently it's very cheap to buy me off and to bribe me. But all joking aside, I'm under no obligations to be positive or to discuss the pedal at all. So this is my honest, independent opinion. The pedal itself feels very solid. It's very well built. I did find that the indication lights that are on it that let you know in what mode it is were a bit too bright. So in a very Kurt Cobain fashion, I decided to put some tape over them. But each to their own. Another small complaint I have is that for my setup and the way I put together my travel pedal board, the sockets where you plug in and where you plug out and where you put in the electricity to power the amp are not in a very convenient space. They're on the whatever. I won't bore you with the details, but that's just like a personal thing that for my setup isn't very very handy. But perhaps for somebody else, that's just like perfect. It looks really, really good. It has like the color scheme. Aesthetically, it's very nice. Like I said, I'm a big fan of old school physical pedals, just the way they look, the way they feel, the knobs, the logos, the artwork and stuff like that. And but of course, it's all about what you can do with it. And there are some interesting differences compared to the original Polycores. Notably is that this version has a blend knob that you can turn up or turn down. And that's actually a very big plus. It allows me to very precisely control how much of the effect I mix into my clean signal. So I can decide exactly how much of this sauce I want to put on my spaghetti, so to speak. Okay, I don't know if that makes sense, but I hope it does. And that proves to me that the guys at Past Effect companies are not only interested in cloning the sound of a pedal, but also are looking for ways to improve that. And I think that's very great. Okay, so demo time. One thing I really like is that the makers clearly know their audience. Because in the manual, you can download it as a PDF file on their website. They actually list suggested settings for specific Nirvana songs. That's really, really cool. Let's get on to that. First, start with perhaps the most iconic Polycore sound, which is the intro of radio-friendly unit Shifter. So for that, I have to put the Polycores in chorus mode, and I have to adjust the knobs a little bit. I'm just going to play them the way the manual suggests it. So that means rate goes here, right there, tune goes all the way up. I must say, I did get better results when playing this over my amp. So it probably has to do something with the setup I'm using for recording this for the podcast, putting it into GarageBand, doing all kinds of stuff with it. So to be quite honest, I think that demonstration was a little underwhelming. It didn't really get the sound where it needed to be. But hopefully you believe me when I tell you that when I played it through the amp, it was actually even a lot better. So on to the next sound. I'm going to turn it on slapback mode. Actually, double track, it says on the pedal, but it is... Okay, so let me tell you what you can do with the slapback mode. Kurt Cobain used it on Scentless Apprentice. And what it does, it gives like a sort of a delay kind of sound. So if you use it on the clean sound, it goes like this. Actually, that sound, you can hear it in the introduction when Dave Grohl plays the drum beat of the song, Scentless Apprentice. You can hear that. Going once, and then he kicks on the distortion pedal and he plays this. So you get that sound. Actually, I think I prefer it with a little bit less. Turn it down just a little bit. So I'm going to move away from the recommended settings. And then the main riff is without the effect. And when vocals come in, he kicks the effect back on. And also for the bridge part, like the... It also has the slapback mode on it, so it's I think it's very essential to the way the song sounds. You can also hear it in a I'm hesitating to call it a solo. It's like a very much of a noisy thing, like. To be quite honest, when I play this with cover band, I just push and hit random strings and bend them up and down. And I think that's what Kurt did as well. It's like, it's not a melody he's playing. It's just guitar noise with the effect of the polychords all over it. There's also a flanger mode on it, which I think he didn't use on the record, but sometimes at live shows you might be able to hear it. It's just like a... Now, the last recommended setting is for the solo of Heart-Shaped Box, which is quite interesting because Kurt Cobain did not use this effect box on the record for the solo, at least not that I'm aware of. He used a very, very rare pedal that producer Steve Albini gave him. And I think I talked about it a bit on the last episode. But for live shows, he did use the polychords, obviously, because he had to give back the pedal X that was Steve Albini's. So I'm going to put it on the settings that's suggested by Past Effects to see if we can make it sound anything like it. I've placed my effect board on the table in front of me, so I'm actually operating them by hand because I have to turn the knobs up and down. So that's why sometimes my timing is a little bit off because I can't use my feet. But here's to say, I can put this pedal board on the table very easily because it all fits in. I have now a tuner, a Boss DS1 distortion pedal, another Sense amp-like pedal, the Neoclone I already talked about, even a small noise gate to kill some of the hiss and stuff that comes out, and the polychords by Past Effects. So that brings me to my final verdict. I think it's a beautiful and compact and very practical pedal that brings in the classic In Utero guitar sound to life. Like I said, playing it through an actual amp, even better than recording this for the podcast. It exactly does what I hoped it would do, and it definitely won't leave my pedal board for a long time. From now on, I think this pedal is coming with me to every rehearsal. And who knows, maybe in about a year, it'll get some company in the form of that Past Effects Sense amp clone. And then my travel-sized pedalboard for rehearsals is complete, and I am a very lucky person who has both a full-blown Nirvana pedal board for if we do another gig or for playing at home, and also this travel side. So I'm very, very happy with it. And if you're a guitar player and you like to collect these kinds of things, I would definitely check it out if I were you, especially since the original Polychoruses, if you can find them, they are very expensive. Same goes for the Echo Flanger, which is the same pedal, like I said. So unless you want to spend a ton of money, you're probably going to have to buy a clone. And I think this Best Effects clone is probably the best out there, especially since you weigh in the fact that it's small, it's handy. It looks very good, and it has that blend knob that gives you some extra options to really shape your sound. So that's it for this pedal board adventure. I want to thank you a lot for listening to me. One small bit of housekeeping before we wrap up. We are aware that some of our older episodes of this podcast are no longer available on Spotify due to some copyright issues, even though I think everything that we've used in all the episodes was so-called fair use, because we only used small fragments of them to make a point, to illustrate it, to review and discuss the Nirvana records. But still, I don't want to rob some big mighty companies the wrong way for something we do just for fun. So that's why some of the podcast episodes are no longer on Spotify, but all episodes are still available on Apple Podcasts and CastBox and perhaps even some other podcast platforms. So if you're missing something, that's where you can find them. We also received a few emails about asking us to talk about the most recent Nirvana reunion performances, including the shows with the Post Malone. It's been a while, and we might do that at some point. But like I said in the beginning, Aditya lives in Canada these days, and honestly, we'd rather record an episode like that when we are in the same room together, because it's a lot more fun for us to do that. So, like we said before, we don't make any promises anymore. Every episode could be the last one, but you can always go back and listen to our old episodes. If you're interested in new episodes, make sure that you're subscribed to this channel. You'll hear about it when we drop a new episode, if we ever do so. But thanks again for listening, and thanks everybody who's reached out to us. It really means a lot to us. And who knows, maybe I'll see you next time. Hey everybody, Sietse here. I just couldn't let go, and I really wanted to do the Polychorus by Best Effects justice. I set up my amp. I'm recording this just on my phone, so I'm just wanna share with you what it sounds like trying to make the radio-friendly unit shifter intro sounds on my actual amp instead of plugging into my laptop for the podcast recording. So here's what it sounds like. For real, recorded just with my phone. Maybe it's just me, but I think it sounds a lot more accurate, and it proves that the Polychorus clone can totally get that sound, the spaceship sound from Enduro. Okay, so just for full disclosure, I wanted to add that as an afterthought. Okay, bye-bye.